Be grateful to God. In spite of everything, be grateful to God.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, November 20th, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Our text comes to us from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
So this morning, I've been not troubled, but concerned in my heart in that sometimes we seem to neglect or forget God's blessings in our life. We're giving away turkeys to people who are in need and some cash gifts as well, and is very much on the way. And I don't usually do the turkey run, but I did that yesterday, looking for turkeys. And I said, Lord, help us, because everything they're telling me now is that those turkeys are going to be $2.24 a pound, or four something a pound. And I said, how are we going to do this? And I'm going to tell you, God is so good. We found the best turkeys you can possibly find for 99 cents a pound. Yeah, if you want to know where, talk to me. And for a small fee, I will tell you. People said to me, be careful with turkeys because they're contaminated. I said, what in the world are people talking about? You know, we live in a world of fear today. And I understand you have a cold and you think you have COVID. You don't have COVID, you have a cold. Just a flu. You know, we live in a world of panic, panic, panic. Hey, God's in charge. Now you need to live that, you know. God's in charge, you know. So you need to rejoice that the blessings of God are with us. And he will help us meet every need that comes around. Because God cares for you and for me. He takes care of you and me. We should never neglect having a thankful heart to the Lord. I hope you come on Wednesday to give thanks to the Lord for the many things he has done for you. I feel that sometimes we neglect our heart being thankful, and we become more complainers than thankful people. But we need to be thanking the Lord for all the many blessings, because I want you to know that you may neglect God or you may forget God, but God doesn't neglect you and God doesn't forget you. God loves you, and I pray that you and I will have a wonderful Wednesday Thanksgiving service. In the meantime, I'd like for us to be afraid a little bit. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. In the right sense of the word, I want us to understand how powerful God's word is today and how we should respect God's word and how God's word does work in our lives. And then I'm going to apply that to a psalm of thankfulness as we continue to process this week's with a heart that is thankful to the Lord. So let's read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Here we go. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. May God bless the reading of his word. The words are important, very important. And especially in the concept of the Old Testament, they believed, and also did the Greeks, that spoken words have an independent existence. That once you say a word, that word goes out and does things. That words are not just sounds. Words have meaning and expression and body and strength. And when we talk about God's word, it should really bring to our hearts a level of commitment to fear God, because God's word has gone out already. When I say fear, I mean respect, I mean, a sense of holiness and reverence, that God's word is alive and quick and sharper than any two-edged sword, that it does its work. So, never is God's word ineffective. When God sends his word, it accomplishes for the purpose that he sent his word. God doesn't say something and then he forgets. God's word is eternal and it stands on his own. And God never repents from the word. What he says, he means, and he means what he said. And God's word is so powerful that that's the standard by which you and I are going to eventually be judged in the presence of God. How we have responded to the word, how we have lived the word, or how we have rejected the word. So when you and I face God's word, we face a living substance. I mean, I read books by other authors, you know, by many authors, but they're meaningless as far as judgment is concerned. I can do without reading Plato. Believe me, don't read him. It's boring. But I can't do not reading God's word, because God's word eventually will judge me. Not Plato, but God's word will judge me. And God's word calls me into a place of submission and obedience to what he says, what he has said, what he is saying, and what he will always be saying. So you and I need to understand God's powerful word. That it comes to you and it comes to me. And it says it divides between the soul and the spirit. The soul is our life. It's what we are all about, what we're about. And the spirit is that which gives us the ability to reason and to bring things to God. I've often wondered, who am I? I mean, maybe you've asked that question, who am I? And, you know, you are who you are. What a great discovery. You are who you are. That's it. Who are you? You. Well, who's me? You. Not you, me. No, you. But God's word can discern the depths and the complexities of our existence. He knows everything about you and about me. And God's word is so powerful, so skilled. It says it penetrates even to the divining of the soul and spirit. When you ask yourself, what is a human being? We say, well, the classic response is, well, we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. You try to divide those things. You can't. Well, the body you can, but even then, it's very difficult. When you pass away, when you die, your soul leaves, goes to God, but your body stays, and eventually the body will resurrect. But that's as far as we can go. But how do you make a distinction between the spirit and the soul? Very difficult, almost impossible. It's sometimes I thought, well, maybe I'm one-third this, one-third that, and one-third the other. And it doesn't work that way. We're one. We're one. And yet the word of God can go inside of our hearts and lives and speak directly to you and to me. And it says that it penetrates, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So the desires is the emotional part of your life. He knows your emotions. He can understand your emotions. It judges your thoughts and attitudes. I mean, think about it. Your thoughts and attitudes. You know, he goes into your emotional life. He goes into your intellectual life. The totality of who you are. You're not three persons. You're one person. Body, soul, spirit. One person. You can't really divide. You try to. You can't do it. And yet, all of them must bow to God. God's word says, I know all about the complexities of who you are, and my word discerns your emotions and your thoughts, your reasons. I know all about you. I understand. And God's word is active and alive, knowing everything that's going on in your heart. And verse 11 says, nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Nothing. No, nothing. Absolutely nothing. When I say nothing, I mean nothing. Everything is naked before the eyes of God. And everything before God is compelled to meet his eyes. You're compelled to see God. You say, I don't believe in God. Yeah, well, that makes no sense to me, but you're still going to have to face God. Even the one you don't believe that exists, you have to face him because God is everywhere. You're compelled to meet his eyes. And it's amazing how God looks at you and everything is stripped away from you. He sees everything. And the amazing thing is that when you get into God's word, it begins to show you who you really are. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that the greatest enemy of our life is the lack of going into the word and reading God's word and meditating God's word, because this word will show you who you are. This is like a mirror to your soul. You will read it, and the Lord will speak to your heart and will show you your spirit, your soul. He'll show you who you are and what you need to do in order to live a faithful and wonderful, productive life. So you and I will be compelled to be in front of God. And everything, it says, uncovered. It says, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So in this Thanksgiving season, we need to straighten up and understand that God knows all about us and that God's word eventually will catch up to us. And then we will have to face God for everything we have done, good or bad. So I think it's appropriate that I turn to a psalm just to get us moving here, because this psalm, I think, speaks to us very clearly as to the spirit of thanksgiving and as to how we should approach God, who loves us with an everlasting love. Because God is not here to condemn you. God's here to liberate you, to set you free. Psalms 103. I think we all know it. Psalms 103. Because in this psalm, we find all the components of your life and my life. The redemption of God, the love of God, the care of God, his protection, his understanding of you and me. And that's why we should be thankful. Because sometimes we try to be who we're not. We try to be good and intelligent and bright. You know, you might be, maybe a little bit, but not much. Because the Bible tells us that we were born in sin, and sin is part of the process of living in this earth. And so there's enmity between you and God. But look, let's go to Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being praise his holy name. My soul and everything else pertaining to my soul, everything in my life. Everything that I am should bless the Lord. Be thankful to God. Be grateful to God. In spite of everything, be grateful to God. And there are five benefits that come through. It's beautiful. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is not here to remind us of our condemnation or our sins or put us down? But look at the benefits of having God in your life. And the first thing he says is, who forgives all your sins. How many sins does he forgive? All your sins. Think of it. He forgives all your sins. I need the forgiveness of my sins. How about you? We all need forgiveness of sins. He forgives us our sins. So I'm thankful that he forgives my sins. More than that, and heals all your diseases. There's a healing power that comes to you, and God is the one who heals you. How many need healing? Better yet, how many have experienced healing in your life? Yeah, he heals you. Think of it. It goes on to say, who redeems your life from the pit. I don't know if you've ever been in the pit, but I tell you, it's not a nice place to be in the pit. It's not nice to be in the pit, because when the Lord delivers the faithful from the pit, he moves them into a place of divine shelter. He moves them to a place of refuge. Some of us have to fight the power of death upon our lives. Sometimes we're gripped by death. We find new life because God is there to deliver you from the pit. We should have a whole series on the pit. But it would find yourself very pitiful. But the pit is a place where many Christians find themselves today. Depressed, in agony, in confusion. Yeah, you find yourself in a very difficult place. You find yourself surrounded by fear and concerns that you can never resolve. He delivers you from the pit. You know, I've been in the pit a couple of times. It's no fun to be there. When you're in the pit, you have no strength of your own. When you're in the pit, you're just floating in dark space. When you're in the pit, you think the end has come, or you wish for the end to come. You look around and you see things going wrong and nothing going right. You look up and it's dark. You look down, it's dark. You look to the right, to the left, it's dark. You look to the back, everything is dark. You're in the pit, in a black pit. Yeah, it happens. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he was at the cross and he experienced that pit, the dark side of the cross, we referred to it, where even God turned his face away from Christ and he suffered and he endured the pit of all pits, so that you and I, when we enter into our pit, can be delivered from it. We need deliverance from the pit in your life, where all of a sudden your priorities have shifted, when all of a sudden things are not right, when all of a sudden you moved away from the place that you've been assigned by the Lord to serve him. All of a sudden you've moved away, you're in the pit. The Lord delivers you from the pit to give you light and life and strength and service and opportunity to be who you must be in the eyes of the Lord and in the eyes of those around you. God does not want you to be in suffering. God does not want you to be in a place of servitude, but he wants to give you in a place where you're free from pit, from the power of death, finding new life. And as you continue reading, you find that not only does he deliver you from the pit, he goes on to say, and crowns you with love and compassion. Crowns you, makes you a king, gives you the authority. You have love and you have compassion from God. These are themes from the Old Testament over and over again, that God loves you and has compassion over you. He understands the mess you're in and why you got into that mess. And he does not offer to you, the faithful ones, does not offer to you condemnation, but love and compassion. You know, when you really need love is when you feel nobody loves you. Compassion is so much needed in our communities today. Have compassion for the pain that someone's going through. But going through the pain that you're going through, instead of judging you, there's compassion. God knows all about you and me. He says, I'm crowning you with love and compassion. How many would take love and compassion from the Lord? Of course you do. And then he goes on to say, who satisfies you? Satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagle. He satisfies your life. He fills your life. You have a sense of personal accomplishments because the Lord has done something in your life that brings satisfaction, fulfillment, purpose, direction. You know God is working in your life. and you're satisfied in the presence of God. In spite of everything that goes around, he fills your heart with satisfaction. He will one day say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I'm going to ask him and say, faithful? Where was I faithful? But he is the one who does that in your life and in my life. He satisfies us. He brings everything you and I need to have wholesome, complete lives. I like the other part that says that your youth is renewed like eagles. How many need the renewal of your youth? Some of you say, my youth, what's that? It went away, you know. Well, that's when you used to be young. Well, some of us who are young here. But there comes this incredible energy that God gives to you and strength that God gives to you, that you go on another day living for his glory. The Lord works righteousness. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. That's the other verse. That's wonderful. He works. He's out for the oppressed ones. He's not oppressing the oppressed, but he's working righteousness, the right things, and brings justice to the oppressed. He's the only one that can bring justice to the oppressed. He knows the heart condition. He works on that. But I like it because he says he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. And look at this. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. There is a God who redeems us. And there's a God who stretches out his hand to bless you and to strengthen you. This is Thanksgiving week. Lord, thank you. Bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He forgives. He heals. He redeems. He crowns. He satisfies. He says he does not treat. Look, he does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. Whew. That's a home run right there. Absolutely true. Because we know how bad we are and can be. We know the things we've done that are out of bounds for God. We know we have trespassed. We have neglected God, but God has not neglected us. He looks at you, he looks at me, and he says, I am not going to treat you the way you treated me. I am not going to repay you according to your iniquities. This is the God that we serve and the God that we love and the God we respect. This is the God that looks at your heart and my heart, and he makes a judgment call over your life and says, I choose to love you, not to hate you. I love you with an everlasting love. He goes on to say, for us, this is one of my favorite passages. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. You know, when I was a little kid, I used to compete with my brother and sister in trying to find out how much we love my mother. And so I remember my sister Sue said, I love you this much, Mama. And then Richard would say, this much. And I would say, to the moon. God loves you to the moon. There is abundance of love towards you and me, but don't neglect that. Don't take that so much for granted that it's, you know, it's everyday affair and you don't move on with your life. But look at this. Next, as far as the east is from the west, thank God he knows geography. Because if we be from the south to the north, it's not much of a run. You immediately go up to the north, and then you're going down south, and you go up south. But going from east to west, you're chasing your tail. You can never get to the end of the west. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. We're free. We have been set free. There is no bank account against you or me. We're free. We're free people. God has worked in such a way that through the death of Christ on the cross, you and I today can enjoy the freedom from a guilty conscience, a freedom from being condemned every day, because he has removed those transgressions way out there. He will never find them again by his own choice. So as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So somebody said to me one day, you know, my father was pretty bad. I can't understand that metaphor. I said, well, understand it, that our Heavenly Father is the perfect Father. And he loves you with compassion. And he goes on to say, so he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. This is the genius of God's word. It tells the truth, doesn't it? He remembers we're dust. We're creation. He created us. We're part of the created world. He knows that we were dust one time. And he from the dust, he created us from the dust. For as man, his days are like grass and flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. Oh yeah, we can look back at our lives and we ask ourselves, where did all this time go? It just flew. That's right. We're up one day and down the next. We're not eternal creatures. We're here for a short time. For a short time. But verse 17, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. We will never be void of love. God will always love us. We will be surrounded by love eternally. The Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with the children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. There are conditions here, aren't they? It's always conditional. God loves us all, but he respects us as we respond to his word. And as we respond to his word, his love is poured there. When you and I, as his children, don't do what he's called us to do, he will bring us into discipline. But that's still God's love and God's power. That's not that God has forsaken you. He's straightening you out. He's working with you. The Lord has established, verse 19, has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. And then he ends this psalm, as we will be ending this morning. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord and all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. So this Thanksgiving week, we want to praise the Lord. And don't forget everything he has done for you and continues to do. When you come on Wednesday, come with a word of testimony and tell us what God has done in your life. Don't you dare stay home. Make the extra effort. Just come over. What we do with the turkey is we turn on the oven and we let it cook all by itself. It doesn't need my companionship. Come to the church and say, this is what God has done. This is why I'm thankful. But let me just reiterate one more time what Paul says in Hebrews. God's word is quick and powerful. He looks at you. He knows all about you. And it's with those eyes knowing all about you that he loves you and cares for you and forgives your sins. But don't take those wonderful blessings for granted, in the sense that eventually you and I will have to stand before him and we'll have to give an account of our lives, how we have lived and how we are living today. And how you're going to live this week. And how you're going to live today. God looks at you and loves you. But there's a day of responsibility that comes to you and to me. You look like you need to go home. For those of us who are joining us through Facebook and other means, we bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Eventually, I will go digital. But right now, I only preach to the congregation that's here. I have no idea how to go digital. I'm analog until the Lord comes. We'll fix that. We'll fix that. Shall we pray? So, Lord, we thank you for speaking to our hearts and for allowing us, Lord, to praise your name. Lord, we know that there are areas in our life that need care. And so we're asking you, Lord Jesus, to speak to our hearts and to reassure us that you will not leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, help us this week to praise your name, to be thankful, that our soul will be thankful for all the things that you have done and that you are doing and that you will do. Lord, thank you that we have benefits from you. You've forgiven our sins. You're healing our diseases. You redeem us from the life, from the pit. And you crown us with love and compassion. And you satisfy us, Lord. Satisfy our desires with good things. In Jesus' name, Lord, speak to our hearts and give us a sense of direction and purpose. We love you. In his name, amen. Will you stand with me?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and that is within me, blessed his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within.
Church, this is the day that the Lord has made. What do you know? You set it all together. So may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our Facebook page or go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.